Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramarte Fio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Hi, everybody. This is Thursday's Hammered Down News. My name is Evan Batterton. I'm hosting the show. For all my critics out there, I am an acquired taste. If you don't like me, you need to acquire some taste. Well, we're waiting for our panel and my co-host to get in, and we're going to go ahead and start off with a few news stories. But before that, I just want to go ahead and do shout-out time. I want to give a shout-out to my brother. He's going to be up here on September the 3rd, Jaron. I can't wait to see you. Chimmy, all the way from Australia, is now going to be listening to our show. And my friend in Israel, Limor Devora, is also listening to the show as well. Just want to give a shout-out to them. Let's start off in Florida real quick. There's a place called Miracle Village, and I think the only miracle about this place is if you live there and you haven't been molested yet. Miracle Village is a small Florida community that sits on the edge of the Everglades, and it's home to more than 100 parents, teachers, and coaches, all of whom are registered sex offenders. So there is an entire community devoted to registered sex offenders, and it was started by a pastor named the late Dick Withrow, and he runs a group called Matthew 25 Ministries. So... the next thing is we wanted to not leave out Syria on this show, and everybody needs to keep in mind that we have scheduled this show ahead of time, and that's why we're doing this show. This does not mean that we are distracted, that our focus is off Syria. Our thoughts and our prayers go to all the people in the area in Syria, Israel, Iran, Jordan, Palestine, everybody, all the citizens. We could care less about the governments, but definitely all the citizens. I will go ahead and introduce my co-host here, my co-hammer, all the way from the Netherlands, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, man. I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Well, we're waiting for the rest of our panel to get in. Jeff, what do you think's going on in Syria?
Oh, man. That's a good question. Well, first of all, I love what you just said. You know, we stand with every person, all the citizens, government, not so much. What is going on? I think it's a hard question. You know, there's a lot of shit going on. There are reports going back all the way to 2012 that, you know, they have signed deals that they will stage chemical attack and everything. Now, we don't have all the answers yet, but, you know, they will come soon. But I'm afraid this is not going to go good. Iran, they said, you know, a bomb on Syria, that means a bomb on Israel. And if that shit happens, it's not going to go good. Because, you know, Iran with the nuclear weapons and everything, you know, I'm afraid it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be very bad. I just heard that Blair and Sarah are in. Am I right?
Yes. Let's introduce the rest of the panel. Panel means that you never have to say sorry. That's what I always say. Sarah, welcome to the show.
What?
Thanks. How are you guys?
Hi, Sarah.
Pretty good. And to panel or not to panel, that is the panel. Blair, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, you're in, brother. You are definitely in. Okay, yeah, we talked a little bit about Syria. We talked a little bit about the molestation village in Florida. Our show tonight, however, is going to be a continuation of our whole series that we're doing on MK Ultra and that we're doing on Monarch mind control programming. Well, we started off with Monarch 2 weeks ago, and last week was a wonderful show, too. We had a great guest on, but the week before that, we started with beta programming. And by the end of the 2 hours, we had discovered that we needed to cover way more territory. So that's what our show's on tonight. This is part two of beta programming and some of the things related to that. So, Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and pass it to you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to just recap just real quick what we talked about last time?
Oh, yeah, I can do that. It is about the MK Ultra, the Monarch mind control, and it's being played out. You know, our focus is on Hollywood, the media, the music. You know, we got the MTV, the music, the movies, everything that is going on, and actually everything that our kids are getting to see and younger generation is getting to see. And this is something, it is very subtle and subliminal. It is being worked out in all these, in the movies, in the lyrics, in the music videos. You know, we can just give a quick few examples. If you just look at Kesha Dae Young, I know we've said this before, you know, it's just crazy what is going on and all the subliminal mind controlling, because that is what it is. It is programming. It is programming words and visions into the minds of the people listening this year. You know, and last week we talked about, you know, we talked about everything, almost every little example, you know, and we're going to continue that shit on this show. And I'm pretty psyched about this. I know Sarah is pretty psyched about this, and you guys watch the MTV's, the VMAs, right?
Yes, we watched that together this past Thursday, or what was it, Tuesday, sir?
It was Sunday. It was the 25th.
Oh, it was Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know what that bullshit, but what you told me, you know, that's some crazy fucking shit. I think you need to explain a little bit what you explained to me about the lyrics, Evan, because that was just some, that's a mess.
Well, I'll just start off with Kanye West and what he was, I mean, and we obviously can't talk about the whole VMAs because a lot, I mean, there's definitely something to everything that happened on that show, but I mean, just to stay topical, we can't talk about all of it, but I think Sarah and I tuned in right when Kanye West was being introduced by, who was it, Sarah, who introduced him?
It was Jared Leto.
And what did he say?
He introduced Kanye West as Jesus Christ himself.
Oh, shit.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't really remember the lyrics. You remember probably better than me. What were some of Kanye's lyrics about?
You know, specifically, I can't really remember. The song is called Blood on the Ground.
I can remember that you told me, Evan, that it was about Kanye being overthrown with blood and sacrifices.
Yeah, something about pouring blood over him and things like that, I thought.
Yeah.
Very creepy performance by Kanye West. It was very shadowy, very dark. He was waving around, making all these movements that were just really weird. It just didn't make any sense.
Isn't this the same where Miley Cyrus was, pretending to twerk? Is that where that happened?
Well, yeah.
Miley Cyrus thing happened probably towards the beginning of the whole show.
Oh, okay.
Had to throw people off of the whole rest of everything else that was going on that night.
Yeah, there was something weird about that, and a friend of mine on my profile, he noticed me about it, and he said something with the bears. I don't know if people saw this, but there were a lot of bears.
I called them meadow bears.
Yes. Yeah. That too. But the bear it represents Russia. If you would ask me, and Miley Cyrus had a bear on her shirt, and there were bears dancing all around her, and it was just fucked up, you know, bears with winking eyes, all that kind of shit. It is just very fucking crazy. Somebody noticed me about it. You know, I didn't see it, but I was thinking maybe you guys saw it.
Now, Blair, I think you've at least seen the clip. What do you think is Miley Cyrus's fucking problem, and what is your opinion on the guy that she did the performance with?
I don't think too much of it, to be honest. It's it seemed like a big distraction more than anything, and you know whether or not it's her just trying to get attention or something more. You know, obviously, you know, she didn't come up with that idea of the choreography. You know, that's somebody else's idea. So, you know, the producer behind the scenes and whoever set that up, you know, and she's happy to go along with it. I don't know what you guys think about that. You know what I mean? She's definitely not her idea. It wasn't. It's not like she's no Madonna. I mean, she didn't like write and choreograph the whole thing. You know what I mean? So there's these people behind the scenes, the people who run her. You know, I think it's more to do with them than
anything. You think her dad was proud of her, Blair?
Proud of her. Yeah. Well, there's been something recent in the news about that, hasn't there? I think. Sarah, can you remember what you said?
I know that last week we talked a lot about handlers.
Yeah.
And we had alluded to the fact that Pops was more than likely a handler. But I can't remember any quotes that he said having to do with her whatsoever. I really can't.
I remember that we talked a lot about handlers. I was talking about this girl and her, you know, we called her a pimp. Do you remember this, Evan?
Yeah, I do, actually. A little bit. Yeah. Well, a little bit.
My memory isn't that all good.
All right, well, you got to keep in mind that I watched the VMAs on Sunday, too.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
please keep that in mind. I watched the VMAs on Sunday, so my brain is a tad bit scrambled.
Shit happened.
Which really isn't that the point? I mean, to kind of scramble everybody's brain. I mean, a lot of people on social media have been saying that Miley Cyrus was, you know, she was being used as one big distraction from the war in Syria. But you know, I got to say that the same people that would really watch and pay attention to Syria, anyways, are not the same people that are going to be distracted by Miley Cyrus. I don't think.
No, but
I think despite her performance, nobody's gonna pay attention to Syria that wouldn't have already.
Yeah, but if you're gonna look in the bigger picture of it, you know, there was so fucking much drama about that. Even here in the fucking Netherlands, on some some of the bigger news pages and that kind of shit, that was pinned up. That was a headline, and I don't fucking understand that. Well,
yeah, exactly.
To be honest, I really think that it is a distraction, and yes, you are right, people who are watching Syria and that kind of shit, they won't be distracted by it, but still, you know, if you look at, you gotta think between the age of, well, let's say 16 and 25, you know, most people in their 20s, they aren't really political aware about this kind of shit, you know, not everybody, but it is a big distraction. And then we got Fukushima and the fucking radiation leak. You know, it's getting crazy right now, and the media is completely silent about this shit. You know, it's just it's hilarious, and on the other side, it's just pathetic. You know, but we can't do much about it. We can only, you know, inform the others and see what's going on. That's all.
Yeah, you basically just got like, you know, Yahoo News is full of articles about Miley Cyrus's arse. You know, instead of all the background shenanigans that's been planned, you know, by these psychos.
She doesn't even got an ass. Come on, man. What the fuck is this? She really doesn't. It's really crazy.
Well, I think Sarah had a good point that Miley's performance could have very well been a distraction from the rest of the show. Because the rest of the show was bizarre, and that kind of ties into what our show is about today. And it's the Monarch Mind Control Beta Programming and Beta Kittens. And I think, Sarah, the very first time that we saw, when we watched it together, the whole anything that would scream Beta Kitten to us was with a male performer. Do you want to go ahead and tell everyone?
Oh, yeah.
I did notice when Bruno Mars performed, he was wearing cheetah print shirts.
Mm.
I mean, that's whole animal print cat kind of thing. It ties into the whole beta kitten thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was very peculiar. It was a night for feminist men or feminine men. They celebrated Justin Timberlake and his 11th anniversary of his solo career. I don't know who celebrates their 11th anniversary, but they did that and gave him some special award, and Bruno Mars performed, and Justin Timberlake performed for 20 minutes. It was very peculiar.
What was
yeah,
it?
Peculiar is a good word for it.
I think the number 11 is kind of significant that they would celebrate his 11th anniversary of his solo career.
11 years
of think,
solo
and not his
artist,
10th,
yeah,
you
that's
know?
Definitely weird.
It's not like,
yeah, one thing that I couldn't figure out, too, and I tried to watch it again, but it kept flashing back and forth really fast. Did it look like that Bruno Mars might have actually had a butterfly pendant on his hat? I couldn't tell if it was a butterfly or a peacock, which, I mean, they both mean something. And, I mean, we'll do, like, a show on symbolism some other time, and we'll talk about peacocks, too. But it did look like a butterfly. And then following his performance was Katy Perry, who I think that's who everybody should be talking about in her performance, because she did a song called Roar, and she was in a boxing ring, and she had some sort of a feline print on also, and on each side of the ring it had two giant golden statues of cats.
Oh,
and
man.
At the very end of the performance, for no reason whatsoever, two signs are held up that says game over.
Yeah.
So what was that all about? And I want to ask Blair that if somebody sings a song and they don't, and they hold up something at the end of it, and it's at a performance in a venue like this, and they hold up the sign game over, it means nothing, has nothing to do with the performance or the song or the set or anything. I mean, what can we take from something like that, Blair? Is that a message? Is that a coded message?
Yeah, it was a psychological message, you know what I mean? Is it, you know, it's game over for you. No, it's game over for your mind. I don't know. If you're not talking about dropping bombs in Syria, it's the only thing I could think of, really.
That could very well be, you know, game over. And then we got, you know, the Russian bears. I don't know. I really feel like that it has something to do with it.
Laying the groundwork for predictive programming.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Evan, I got a quick question. We see the butterfly symbol. We see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What is the origins of this? Why the butterfly? Do you know something about this? Because I don't. To be
honest. Why the butterfly? I mean,
what does it represent?
The monarch butterfly. Blair and I had exchanged a link too before that, and I'm going to go ahead and read from this website. And it says that the monarch butterfly learns where it was born, its roots, and it passes this knowledge via genetics to its offspring from generation to generation. And this was one of the key animals that tipped scientists off that knowledge can be passed genetically.
That's what
and the Monarch program is also based on a lot of, and it says this on the website too, Nazi goals. The Nazi scum actually came up with MKUltra. K actually means control in German, to help create a master race in part through its genetics also.
That's true.
Knowledge can be passed genetically, or it can be or a mind can be broken down. Then it's important that the parents be found that can pass correct knowledge on to the victims of these people. So they have to actually find parents that are willing to do it too, which we talked about last time, and would sort of tie into Miley Cyrus as well, with Billy Ray being, you know, pimping her out to Disney immediately. So really it does start at home, and it starts with the parents. They have to make the decision to give these kids over.
Yeah, doesn't this, you know, when you mentioned the genes being passed on, you know, about the Masonic breeding program. It makes me think about that a lot. And then we can see all the Masons and the handlers and all that kind of shit, and the pedophilia of it. It sprungs in that kind of shit. You know, it's just very fucking crazy, this all. It's very crazy, and it all intervenes with another. You know, I think it all has something to do with each other. You know, I mean, just imagine that you are 14 or 15 or 16, whatever, they're all kids, you know, because, you know, they're kids, and you're watching that kind of shit on MTV. Now, it's fucking ridiculous. What the fuck are you letting your children watch? And most people don't know this. You know, it's all on the TV, and kids these days, they almost don't do shit. They hang around the TV or the computer or that kind of shit. And that is all that they're getting in. And if you're not even aware about it, you know, it's if you know about it, you know, like you, Evan, and Sarah, and you watch it just to observe and take notes, that's another story. But if you watch it without knowing that shit, that is going to do some serious harm, most likely, because it is all getting into your mind, you know, very quick. It's also subliminal. Most people won't even notice. That's the whole problem.
Now, on the site that Blair passed to me, and we're going to put it up under our thread on our news page, Thursday's Hammer Down News, but it says, Blair, that test runs are done on children when they're about 18 months old to determine if they can disassociate enough to be selected for programming or not. Is that true? Do they really start that young?
Yeah, they're looking for the most pliable victims, aren't they? You know, they want people to. I think that's why we touched on that the other week. You know, that's why they like to, you know, the orphan children and the runaways, because a lot of them have been traumatized already, so they're kind of they'll be easier to disassociate, so they make better mind control victims. So they're always looking for this quality, this genetic quality to disassociate, so this personality type. It's like, when 100 people go to see a hypnotist, there is only, you know, maybe about 15-20% of the audience that is going to be easily hypnotized, and they can easily disassociate. They're looking for those sort of types of people, that personality type.
And one other thing that I wanted to bring up that you and I had talked about earlier, and I wanted to get Sarah and Jeff in on this too, is that we have said before that there's probably a core group that's involved in this, in the entertainment business, whether it's Hollywood or it's music or whatever. Right. And the other ones know that it probably goes on, but they don't know to what effect. Do you believe that it's just a core group, or do you think it's everybody? What would you say first? First, go to you, Blair. What do you think?
I think it's quite a wide variety. You've obviously got talented actors or talented people who work in the industry, and you know, they're just straight up artists, you know, creators, people who make the stages, and you've got all this like artistic community ranging all the way up to, you know, the people who are definitely MKUltra, and they're, you know, they've got the handlers, and they've always got their entourage, and I think the most people in Hollywood know that, you know, it's sleazy and it's a bit dodgy, and you know, there's, you know, dodgy parties and, you know, the casting couch, you know, mythology and all this sort of stuff, and that's to a certain extent that's true, but how many people know, you know, how bad it really is, and I'm not sure. So I think it's quite a wide variety, and there's only a small percentage that are this hardcore, but I think they're the ones that are used for like the culture creation, like Miley last night, you know, if that's going to be your standard bearer for your culture, you know. It's just a generation, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, what do you think, Sarah? I know you and I've talked about before, and you've said that everybody famous has to sell their soul. Can you defend that? Can you defend that comment? What would you say?
I mean, most of them have admitted to it, so.
True.
Yeah,
pretty true.
That's very true.
Very true. Yes, very true. Including somebody Katy Perry said that, actually, too.
Yeah, they say it, and they write about it in their music, and they make videos about it. So, pretty obvious.
I think when you see people who become famous very quickly and they get promoted a lot, and their image changes a lot very quickly, I think that's quite a bad sign.
That's quite a big sign, you know. You could say, you know, selling your soul, or, you know, selling your, you know, your talents to the fucking industry, you know. I don't know this. It's literally selling your soul, like selling your soul to the devil kind of shit. But if they sell out, and like you said, Blair, it's very fucking true. If you can see people going from, you know, almost a nobody to a fucking ranking pop star, that kind of shit, then you know something. But, you know, they got something.
Even Snooki has said she sold her soul. I mean, I don't know if you European guys know who Snooki is, but she's one of America's favorite whores. Yeah, definitely one of America's favorite whores.
Snooki wants to smooch me.
She's from the Jersey Shore, and even she said that she sold her soul. I mean, the important thing to remember, and my brother always says this, is the soul is really not for sale. Okay,
no,
I mean, you can say it all day long, but you can always take it back.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah, you can always take it back. Now, I remember when Rihanna first did music, she was markedly different than when she got involved with Jay-Z. I mean, she was completely different.
Yep.
And she gets involved with him, and then all of a sudden, it's heavy symbolism and strange lyrics, and she's gone very dark, you know, in terms of her personality.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe, I don't know if maybe he's a handler now or what. I would say Jay-Z's a handler. I think he handles his own wife, to be honest.
I think that
Jay-Z's
actually the one that discovered Rihanna or whatever and got her career started. She worked with him in the beginning.
Hmm. Well, now that we're talking about these women here and we're talking about some of these MK and Monarch victims, I wanted to ask the question to everybody.
Yeah.
If they're being programmed, and according to this site, and I'm going to put it up here soon, if there's a possibility that they're being selected at the age of 18 months and then broken down in their minds to get the cores of their personalities to fracture, how accountable are they? How accountable are they? And how much should we hate them? Should we hate them 100%, or should we not hate them at all, or should we say it's 50-50, or somewhere in their minds they know a little bit about it? Blair, what do you think?
Well, you've got to have empathy for them to a certain extent, but if you're going to draw a distinction between somebody who's mind-controlled and someone who's just willingly willing to do anything for that money and fame and glamour and what have you, I feel easier hating them. You know, if somebody's just a victim, then I don't know. You know, you can't really hate somebody who's been abused that badly, can you? Really difficult not to, though. You know, there is that opposite view of you know people hating on these people, and it's hard to draw a distinction sometimes, you know, because you don't know if they're just a sellout or if they're actually a victim.
Definitely, I know I threw you a curveball question. Jack, what do you think? Should we feel sorry for them? Should we not criticize them? Or should we go ahead and blast them on full?
Well, we can always criticize them, but be a little bit more specific. Do you mean the people who are mind controlled, or the people doing this? Because, the people who are being controlled, you know, you can feel bad for them. I don't know. I don't think you can really blame them. I think they are slowly being brought up in the industry. You know, just like the example of Rihanna. If you look at her earlier stages and that kind of shit, it wasn't anything like it what it is now. And I think it's the same with almost everybody. But for the people doing this shit, I think that's a whole another question. I think they should and they will get everything that they have got. You know, and I just see that, Blair, you got something more to add on this. Go on, man.
Yeah, I was just thinking just now, it's very much like politicians that, you know, people can hate the politicians, like you might hate Obama and this and that, but it's really the people who are backing Obama that you should be hating, and he's just a performer. So just like these guys, they're the performers, and it's really the people who run Hollywood, you know, the script writers, the producers, the directors, the handlers, you know, all these shady characters that you very rarely find out about, you know, the studio bosses. And even if you go back to the start of Hollywood, the very inception of it was actually done in a way that the actors were groomed from day one by the studios, and they were contracted to do, you know, X films for, you know, the studio, and then they were hired out, and they had to do films that they didn't necessarily want to do, you know, because they're under contract. So I think it's more important, maybe, like, you know, like we do with politics, we go above the politicians, to who's behind them and who funds them and who writes their scripts. So it should be the same with these personalities in Hollywood. It should be the same.
Yeah.
Sarah, what do you think?
Well, just going back to how Jack said they start their careers and they seem a lot more innocent and they progress towards,
I think,
like,
then they are generous.
It's like the good girl gone bad theme.
Yeah.
It relates to the monarch mind control as a way of the butterfly represents transformation from one personality to the next.
Oh,
that
would
happen from dissociation. You create this other thing out of one thing.
Expert,
and they represent that with their music and their careers because they start out, you know, like Britney Spears, for example, with the schoolgirl look, and then all of a sudden they're dancing on poles in their videos and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They can't wait. They can't wait to sexualize these girls, you know? As soon as they get anywhere near
them.
Yeah, exactly. They can't, the salaciousness and just the way the whole press about them works, it's like, you know, they'll even write, you know, finally she's finally 18. It's almost like we can do what we can write and do what we want with her now, you know, and we can you know, just the way they treat them. Do you know what I mean? You know, they're like in those tabloids and stuff like that. They can't wait until they're of sexual age, and then they can exploit them even more than they have been already.
I think they really did a number on Christina Aguilera, to tell you the truth. I mean, she went from being extremely innocent to, you know, I was ready to pay her $50 to come over. I mean, that's really how bad she got. And these days, I mean, she's doing a lot of hosting and stuff, and I don't think they can use her as much because she looks like about 10 pounds of Genie in about a 5-pound bottle. And that's about what she looks like now, so I don't think they can use her as much.
She started out on the Disney Club as well, right? The Disney House, like Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake, they all started out on the Disney show. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very early.
Mickey Mouse Club,
in this.
Is it called Mickey Mouse Clubhouse? Oh, shit.
Yeah. They might just had this conversation with producers and stuff and said, look, sex sells. And if you wear a bit less and sing a bit raunchier, then you can sell millions more records because that's what the public loves, you know? So even just that conversation without any, like, nefarious activity could make somebody a star and go, they'd just be like, yeah, okay, you know, I'm growing up, I'm 19 now, and, you know, I'm not a kid anymore, and I want to express myself. You know, so it could just be that, you know.
Now, I just cracked on them pretty hard, you know, I know that I make fun of them and stuff like that, and to a lot of people in the public, people like Miley Cyrus, they look like idiots. They look like they're dumb. Justin Bieber looks like he's a dumb. Everybody looks like they're dumb, but Blair, in reality, in order to fracture somebody's mind and turn them into a beta slave, the victims actually have to have some sort of advanced intelligence, do they not?
Why?
Well, that's right, yeah. It's like we were saying about the hypnotism, that the most easily hypnotized people are the most intelligent people. It's because they're the most left-brained. Use their left brain the most. And people who will fall for cons and stuff are usually the most left brain people as well. So they're usually what we class as more intelligent, and they've got PhDs and stuff like that. You know?
What good is a dumb slave? Honestly, if you're going to put them in, if you're going to put them into public speaking positions and performing positions, and they're going to be talking and interviews and things like that, what good is an idiot? I mean, you can't have an idiot. You really can't.
Yeah. It works for actors as well in a way because they can have photographic memories, which means they can remember their lines and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah. And I was reading on that site too, and I just want everybody to know that under our pinned post on our news page, I did put the link to the website. The title of the website, I mean, it's insane. It's the Illuminati formula to create an undetectable total mind control slave.
That's
basically it basically it's the instruction manual basically. Mm. It's extremely detailed, and I highly suggest that people go take a look at this. And just real quick, if anybody wants to call in 10 minutes, and anybody has anything to add, they can comment or question. We don't censor, and we invite everybody. If you want to be harsh to us and mean to us, again, that's ill-advised. I've said that before, and I'll say it again. But anybody can call in. So 10 minutes, if anybody wants to, we'll take that until the end of the hour. So, but let's talk about the Nazis real quick.
Okay.
We've said that they've started this mind control, this MK Ultra. Joseph Mengele was their mad scientist. And not only did he do a lot of surgical stuff, but, you know, it looks as if he might have been their head programmer when it came to MKUltra and Monarch. Am I off base with that?
Wasn't he the Nazi scientist who moved to America after the Second World War?
He was doing all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. Now, then we are talking about the same guy, yeah. That's some crazy shit. And he is now in control, I'm not pretty sure, on an aspect of the CIA division, right? I think Blair knows. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Then we're talking about the same person. No, Nazi mind control, that is something else. That's really fucked up. That is just really, really fucked up shit.
Hitler thought that was his greatest weapon.
Yeah, it was.
The whole propaganda, the whole thing, you know, that Goebbels run the propaganda system, the mind control. He thought that with that he could take over the world.
Yeah,
and it was adopted by the Americans at the end of the war when they brought them all over.
But they still use it. I said this like three times. But what Hitler and Obama is doing is the same. You know, offering change in a time of economic depression and that kind of shit. You know, you can call it. You know, it is propaganda, but it's also massive mind control.
Yeah, it's straight out the high priest's playbook, you know, of mind control.
Exactly. Because if you put, you know, back in the 1940s, you know, Hitler would have stand on a balcony and talk to millions and millions of people. But these days, it's much easier. You know, you got this one Zionist, I don't know his name, maybe Evan knows it, and he's in control of 95% of all the media. Just, he can put his vision on the television in fucking seconds if he wants to. You know, you don't need a balcony and millions of people who are fucking you can just transfer that shit on the television and everybody will watch it. And even if you know it or not, you are gonna believe it a little bit. You know? It of course it depends on how aware you are of shit. You know, that's just crazy. You know, TV is really, you know, the media, I will always say this, the media is really the biggest problem that we have.
An interesting little thing for people to research, Jack, would be to have a look for what was the first image ever broadcast on television, and it was by the CIA.
Really? What was it? I don't know.
I can't remember off the top of my head exactly. It was some sort of image, and it was like a skull and bones thing or something like that. But there's other stuff as well. It was like some weird shit. It's worth having a wee look into that just to find the origins of what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's a good one. I'm going to have to read for that. So that's pretty interesting. Evan, what do you think about this? You know, because you know, the days have changed and technology and that kind of shit. How do you think that the mass mind control, and this is not even a monarch, this is just a little bit more on the basic. How is this the easiest being used? Can you give an example or something like that, you know, for the TV, for example?
One of the most basic forms of mind control and one of the best ways to hypnotize is just repetition. Repeating something over and over and over again is the best way to get it in somebody's heads. And that's, they're basically, I mean, what's happening is the media and also with the entertainment industry using betas and politicians that are under MK Ultra, because it's like what Blair said, they're just reading a script too. They use TV and they just simply replay what they say over and over again. The best example would be CNN probably, where they'll have three stories in one day. And they just keep talking about the same thing over and over again and showing the same interviews over and over again. They just keep doing it. Commercials, same thing. you see the same commercial, you know, for the same movie, and pretty soon you're like, well, I guess I better go see that movie. and sometimes it's not all bad, but I'd say that most of it is. I mean, but the Nazis taught everybody. The Nazis taught everybody about marketing. They did. They taught everybody about marketing. They were scum, but that didn't change the fact that they knew how to market and they knew PR really well.
Yeah.
And,
well, they give people release valves, don't they? Even during the films, you know, they know that people are upset about certain things. And remember, we were talking about the scene in Batman 3, the third one, with Bane.
Yeah.
How that was a psyop. So they give people these release valves, don't they? You know, for the built-up tension and what's happening in the real world, and how they make the body in the movie speak the truth. So they're associating what Bane is saying, which is actually true, what he was saying, that he's actually the evil bad guy that Batman was fighting. He's the noble hero, and you're obviously rooting for Batman. So that whole thing is like a psyop, you know, in itself.
Well, yeah, at the end of his Blackgate prison speech, which was dead on, 100% dead on, at the very end of it, they show a nuclear neutron bomb that's supposed to blow up Gotham. So you take something that's absolutely 100% true, and then you tie it to a bomb. And a lot of MK Ultra programming and Monarch and stuff like that is actually taught to people now under the banner of something called neuro-linguistic programming. That is taught in sales seminars and insurance sales seminars all over the country. I think the term that you could apply to that, what happened in the Dark Knight Rises in that scene right there, is anchoring. They anchored Bane to that bomb, and they anchored the truth of what he said to that bomb. That's exactly what they did. Sarah, did you ever get a chance to see that movie?
Which one? Batman 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it.
Well, I think that because of the success of the previous two Batmans, it was well known that there was going to be a lot of... I was going to have a huge audience, and to be able to take speeches like what he gave, and then when he went into the Gotham stock market, and I think the man says to him, this is a stock market, there's nothing here you can steal, and Bane says to him, well, what are you people doing here? And, you know, I mean, he's cracking on him because he's basically saying, you're a liar and you're a thief. You know, why are you even here? And then they take this huge audience, and they take this guy who's basically telling the truth, and then they add bits and pieces in where they turn him into a villain, and they demonize what he's saying.
Yeah, and what they're also doing is they're planting the idea that the only way to kind of beat these guys is through violence. You know, so, you know, if you don't, you know, go down with an armed mob and get them out of, you know, the stock exchange, then there's no other way to do it. They're kind of, there's that dynamic as well.
Yeah.
They're always pushing that, you know, violence as a solution, because that's the only thing they know. They know violence as a solution, and that's why non-violent solutions will always fuck with it.
Well, okay. What are we going to move on to next? Jeff,
yeah.
I'm going to bring up some screens, so I'm going to go ahead and hand it to you, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to bring up some screens and hand it to you, because there were some other things that we talked about bringing into this, and I just want to be able to give the information on our site while we do it, okay?
Of course, man.
So you go ahead and bash Hollywood for just a minute for me, and I'll be back.
I can do that.
Okay,
man. Okay, so I'm going to bash Hollywood. There we go.
Bash Hollywood.
Yeah, okay. Let me talk a little bit about the origins of this. Because, like most people know, all Hollywood and the TV, they're mostly controlled by the dupes. I don't want to signal them out, mostly the Zionists. But I think I can say with 100% certainty that it's 90% are all Jews in Hollywood. Just look at the big directors, the big movie directors, the regisseurs, everything. These are the same people that control the banks. These are the same people that control what you eat, what the fuck you see on the TV, on the music you hear, everything. It goes by everything. These people, they really control everything, and they still use it. I don't know how long this has been going on, but this might be going on for hundreds and hundreds of years, going back to the 70s. You know, it's very fucking crazy what's going on, but if you take that aside, I think the bigger problem, you know, I said it before, the media is really the biggest problem, because it keeps people in the dark. It is not letting people know what really is going on. And that is really, really the biggest problem. It's not that people are not interested in this kind of shit, and politics and all that kind of shit, because if you watch the news and watch politics, it is all bullshit. It really fucking is. It is all bullshit. You know, it is all controlled by the same people. It's very fucking crazy. And I think we got a caller. Wait, let me see. Oh yeah, we got a caller. Rudan, that is our friend Sam. Can you let him in?
Sam's from Jordan, by the way, everybody.
He's in.
Hey Sam.
Hello.
Hey Sam, what's up?
Hello, man. How are you, man?
Hey, man.
Good. How are you?
Yeah, fine. Thank you, man. I would like to talk about the movies and the music and the TV.
Oh, yeah.
Lately, I was watching a lot of films, a lot of movies, such as Killing Season. You know
yeah.
that film? You know that you watched that film, Eva?
The Killing Season?
Yeah.
It sounds familiar,
but
I don't know.
I've heard of it. I'm going to look it up on Internet Movie Database right now.
But go ahead, Sam. Go ahead.
If you watch the film at the first minute in the film,
yeah.
You can see the sky. You can see the chemical in the sky.
Yeah, the chemicals.
And there is another film. I think I send the picture for Ivan. It's a movie for Adam Sandler. You remember?
I know you sent me a couple links, but Sam, do you think, and Sam's talking about chemtrails, Sam,
yeah.
do you think that it is an accident that those things are in the sky and they just happen to film it those things are already in the sky, or do you think it's on purpose?
No, I don't think it's an accident. You know why? I also look at some music, such as Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
She gets an old music, an old track. Its name, Party in the USA.
Yeah.
Did you watch the video?
I know the video you're talking about, Party in the USA.
At the minute, at the 1 minute and 47 seconds. You can watch her and see her while she is dancing, and the flag is behind her, and you can look at the sky. The sky is weird, like there is an heart effect.
Yeah, the scalar waves.
And this sky was made by computer, I think. It doesn't look like someone take a camera and make.
So when you
watch more and more in media, you're going to see more, the harp, chemical, and, jab.
That is very true. Let me add this real quick, you know, what Evan just said. Do you think that it's on accident or not? You know, I just got one thing to say. Look at GTA 4. I don't know exactly how to spell it. I think that's good. And
Grand Theft Auto.
And then go look at Grand Theft Auto number 5. Look at the trailer and look up in the sky. You can see the chemtrails on Grand Theft Auto number 5. And after that, you can see the fucking scalar waves. Indeed, you know, I have Grand Theft Auto 4 here. And if I play it and look in the sky, there's nothing to see about it. There's really nothing to see about it. And I think that Blair got a good example about this. Blair, go ahead, man.
Yeah, there was somebody that did an analysis of a video. It was a Virgin Atlantic trains advert, and what they'd done is they'd used some footage from the old Railway Children program. I don't know if you remember that. It was like made in the 70s. Yeah. And they'd used footage from the original, but they'd actually CGI'd in some chemtrails in a chemtrail plane.
That's a perfect example.
In the corner of the screen, and it was only there for a couple of seconds in one clip. But that's an example of they're trying to normalize, you know, the sky of the chemtrail.
In old movies, in old kids' movies, they also do this.
Mm-hmm.
They add it everywhere.
That's sneaky shit, that one.
I think Immortal Technique mentioned that in one of his songs by saying, soon we are going to control your priest. I'm not sure which song was it.
Explain it, maybe said, I know it.
But he said, soon we are going to, as an elite, he's speaking here, soon we are going to control the air you breathe.
That is the rich man's rule.
I think in more than 30 years, maybe, science. Like science movie, we are going to put something in our nose to breathe.
Oh yeah, man, very true. Did anybody here see Sarah Blair or Evan? Did you guys see Demolition Man, that movie?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah, I've seen Demolition Man.
I haven't seen it.
I've heard a lot about it though.
Sarah, you should really watch that because you know everything is in there. It is more like you see the upper class; they still live. Ground base, you know, where we live now, and you can see the lower class. They are living in the sewage, you know, not like
that's like Elysium now, Jeff. The movie Elysium that's out. The upper class don't even live on the same planet.
Yes,
they don't even live on the ground anymore.
Exactly, they live on another planet, and if other people want to try to get to it, you know, they're just gonna shoot the fuckers down. You know, it's because Demolition Man is really Rutan. Are you movie challenged? Did you see the Demolition Man?
Yeah, I am.
What did you think of it, Demolition Man? You know, everything was there.
I need to download this movie.
Yeah, you need to, man. It's a good movie.
It's got Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes in it.
Yeah,
Elysium is basically the same thing. I mean, it really is.
I didn't see that. I saw a trailer from it, but that's all. You know, but
yeah, Elysium's out in the theaters now.
I was gonna say that we are getting off topic, but this is actually very much on topic now because this is the movie industry. You know, and in Demolition Man, you know, just for example. You can see that they give the people chips in the hand and in the forehead. And that's really just the RFID chip. And they're just, you know, soon this, because of this, you know, it's a slow progress. It really is. It is not a change from day on night. People are getting more, what is the word for that? You know, getting used for it. I forgot the word. You know, they're being shit.
Conditioned.
You know, conditioned. That is the word. They're being conditioned to these situations. You know, the RFID chips, the upper class, the lower class. You know, there's being a clearer picture, a mark between the people and the people in charge. Because I don't see them the same. I don't see the banksters and the people who run the media. And all that kind of the money and the Federal Reserve. I don't see them fucking. Like,
you know
like
something?
Yeah. Go
you
ahead.
Know something, Ijab and Ivan. I think the problem this is a global problem. Here, even here as a third world country, in the last 5 years. There's more rich, and you know, there's more people getting poor, and there's more people getting rich. It's like
richer get rich, and the poor they get even poorer. Very true.
Also, you might ask how they get all this money.
Yeah, it's fake. It's just paper. You know, back in the days, they used to balance it with the gold. I'm not, I think Evan knows more about this, but those days are over. You know, this, so the money is all fake. It's just paper, and, you know, a very good teacher once told me, you know, money isn't in your pocket, it's in your mind. And, you know, I didn't understand that shit for years, but it works on multiple aspects, because if you are smart in your mind, then you can get shit done without fucking money. You know, if you know the right people, it's very crazy. And money is more symbolic shit.
Yeah.
You know, back
if you
back
can,
go ahead.
You can if you can get the whole world chasing after imaginary fictional paper, then I think you're doing quite a good psyop job, you know?
Right? Exactly. That's exactly what I mean. Perfect.
Okay, there is a question. There is a question. If this money was printed in U.S., so if there is a World War III, it's going down. If World War III, you know, Russia, China against U.S., who's going to print the money now?
Yeah. Well, the Federal Reserve is doing it, right?
Who's going to benefit from it? Whoever funds the war purse. Those are the people that are going to benefit from it. I don't think that the Chinese government and the Russian government does a whole lot of business, not nearly as much as the NATO nations do with Rothschild bankers and their agents. They really don't. Putin is a public critic of the Rothschilds and has kicked them out of his country. So they're not. Somebody still has to fund the war purse. So that's who's going to benefit off of it. I don't see Russia and the United States or China and the United States getting into a big war. I know this is off topic, but just everybody needs to keep in mind that these countries are not, they're going to fight each other through other countries. Okay? That's what they're going to do, because they know if they go at it head to head, there's mutually assured destruction because of all the nukes they have and because of all the weapons. So they're going to use proxy countries to do it.
What are proxy countries? What are proxy countries? Because if you say
proxy, Russia's going to use Syria and Iran, and the United States might go through the rebels in Syria. Or Israel might go through the government of Israel might go through the rebels.
Yeah.
And NATO, you know, Britain might go through the rebels.
But there is
and Saudi Arabia too.
Very true. Sam, I got a quick question for you. You know, with everything going on in Syria, and you are in Jordan, right? What is your...
Yeah.
I know it's a bit off topic, but what is your view on this? What is going on with Assad and Israel and that kind of shit, and Iran? What is your view on this?
Okay, let's start from 17.
Yeah.
You know, Assad, they control in Syria, and he used martial law for more than 40 years. You know that. There is something you need to know, that in Syria a lot of people were killed from Assad family. A lot of people were their brothers were taken by intelligence, and they didn't go back home again.
Yeah.
In Syria, for intelligence, for us, you know, that work for Assad, take you from your home, you are not going to get back to it again.
The same will happen to you.
Here it was same in Jordan, but in the last years, you know, they are not going to any province in Jordan. But no, I'm saying in Syria. In Syria, actually, they need a revolution, but not in this time. This is a bad time for a revolution. Also, you know, there is Israel. You can't make a revolution against your president. Why there is this right there? Also, if you want to make a revolution, you need to make your own weapons, not bring weapons from U.S. or U.S. help or any other shit helps. Actually, this is not accepted. So, and most Arab right now, they don't know what to do or who are they with, or what they think or what they need to do. You know,
I had a friend of mine, and she is from Syria. She had to leave after 2000 something. I can't remember it quite well. And she said everything was fine here in fucking Syria. Everything was fine.
And then the fucking NATO and the U.S. had to come and bring democracy over here.
And now look
what's going on.
That's like
Afghanistan. Everything was fine over there. Everything was cool. But then the troops started invading us, invading the country. And of course we're gonna set up a rebellion, you know. They call it the Taliban, whatever the fuck you wanna call it. But you know, just imagine that if your house and your family is being bombed to fucking shredded, I would pick up the AK. Of course I would. You know, I don't give a fuck if you would call me a fucking terrorist. You know, the same as Libya. I think Sarah knows a little bit about that because I'm not really into that. Sarah, do you got anything to add?
I mean, Libya is doing fine under Gaddafi's rule, and then...
Oh, yeah, Gaddafi, of course.
Yeah.
And what happened to
him? I mean, they were doing completely fine. They had everything going, and then UN...
They wanted the oil.
They're rebels, which were not really rebels because we funded them and all this. It's just... We took their government out and we killed Gaddafi, so...
Yeah. And the only thing Gaddafi didn't want to do was accept American dollars. You know, they was like, fuck off from my country. And what did the media do? They painted him like a fucking terrorist, you know, like they done with everything. I think Blair can add a little bit to this. You know, he knows more about this than me. Blair, go ahead.
Yeah, well, we can tie this into the media and mind control as well, because if you remember, they only got into the Iraq war by Colin Powell sitting in front of the UN shaking his little bottle of anthrax and talking about weapons of mass destruction. Do you know what I mean? And that was a lie. It was a psyop. It was mind control to mind control the American people into backing a war. And they can only do that by using the media. So when it all ties into each other.
Very true.
Yeah, but there is something you need to know. Assad is fucking stupid. You know why?
Yeah, I've heard this a lot from you. I don't know the situation. You know it better than me.
He's fucking stupid. I will tell you why. U.S. and Israel, they try to make wars with
of
him,
course.
With Assad family, and with Syria since 1970.
Yeah,
you know,
is this the same story like Gaddafi with Assad? Is this kind of the same thing?
Yeah, but Libya is they have no borders with Palestine, which is Israel. What I mean, Israel was trying to get to involve Syria in a war since 1970.
Yeah.
But Assad family or Hafez al-Assad was Bashar al-Assad's father. Like any Arab president, he don't care about Palestine, or he don't care about anything. He just care about keep ruling, keep in power in Syria. So he go in peace with Israel, but he wants to take more from Israel and from U.S. They all want more money from U.S. and Israel. Yeah, but Israel and U.S. didn't offer enough money for Assad family, so they go like, we are not friends. So, sometimes, from time to time, in politics, they fight on TV, like this. But and they try to go in war with Assad family, with Syria, but Bashar and his father, they keep in peace. They keep in peace. They try not to get involved. So at the end, you know, before 2 years, U.S. start a new war by the name of rebels.
Yeah, very true.
And Bashar's mistake was is fighting rebels. If he really got a fucking brain in his head, he would start with a war with Israel. And if he do that, he's going to be like a hero in Arab countries, and everyone gonna like all people going to love Bashar.
Yeah, they're gonna love him. They're gonna praise him.
Yeah, even if Syria wanna get in war against Israel and with U.S., they can't. U.S. and Israel, they can't.
They don't have the power for that, right?
Yeah.
Well, Iran, they back them up, and I think that Russia is gonna back them up. And I think that Evan said this before, and I believe him on this,
that no, Russia's going to kick Israel's ass one day.
Even,
No.
Russia is like U.S. Israel took control in every country in this world.
Yeah,
so Russia is just like U.S. And actually, Palestine is an Arab war. It's not Iran war. Yeah, it's just an Arab war.
Then why is Russia backing up Syria? Is this to provoke a war between the two, a state war or something like that?
No, because if Russia
they sell weapons to them.
Oh yeah, of course they sell the weapons.
If they killed Bashar Assad in this war, Russia is going out from the Middle East, and China is going to be next. Because China is under control in a regime like Bashar, like Assad family in Syria. They control China like in Syria.
Yeah.
The same. So if Bashar kill, you know, if they succeed in kill Bashar, Russia is going to be out from Middle East, and China is going to be next.
Yeah, very true. Hey Sam, we gotta wrap this up, brother. We can talk about this for hours. I think we need to do a show about this, about the Middle East and Syria at one time.
Yeah,
it's very complicated. You know, the Arab world is very different than how it is here. And with Israel and everything, I think we can do a show about this one time. You know, we gotta wrap it up. We gotta go on the show. We're already 5 minutes over time, but that's okay. Brother, we love to have you on the show. You know, we keep in touch on Facebook and shit. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, man.
Just one last thing. Don't take side in Syria. Anyone take side in Syria, he's wrong. You know, there is no wrong and there is no right in Syria. Don't take side.
It's control.
I am sure that Illuminati got spies in both sides.
Of course. It's being done by both sides. Most likely, but you know, it's not the people living there, it's the governments and the agencies who are doing this. Very true.
Yeah.
We need to do a show on this one time, man. Hey, man, Sam, thanks a lot for coming on. We will talk very soon, okay? I'm going to give it back to Adam. Thank you, man.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you.
Take care.
Okay. Blair is getting some faggot English tea, I just heard. Sorry. Evan, why don't you kick it off again, man?
All right. Panel is like a box of chocolates. It might kill your dog. Okay. While everybody was talking, I was back and forth in our chat, and I was also bringing up some links to some other things. One thing, we talked about Mariah Carey last week. This is just some annotated stuff, some stuff I just want to add from last week. Mariah Carey had an album called Butterfly.
He did.
And last week, too, or not last week, but 2 weeks ago, the actress from that 70s show, I forget her name, I have to bring that up also, but she played Foreman's older sister. She was a blonde. She died from an overdose. And I also have a link here that's talking about Amanda Bynes, who is the classic profile of what we're talking about here today. She is following in the footsteps of Britney Spears. She has gone under a conservatorship and is undergoing special psychiatric treatment. And,
That's fucking great.
Yeah, this is really interesting with Britney Spears, this conservatorship, because she has to check in on a daily basis. And I tend to believe that this checking in probably means something to the, to the effect of getting her brain fine-tuned. I don't know, I could be wrong, but I would say that probably has to do with it. Another thing, too, that I brought up, there's a video called Infiltration, A Journey into Madness. It's 2 minutes and 34 seconds.
Mm.
It's something that Blair sent to us yesterday. I'm going to be putting that on the news page right now.
Okay, then.
And It talks a lot about mind control, but you have to read the fine print at the bottom because it's really trippy. There's a lot of fractals in the video and, you know, some bizarre music, but all the information is actually in the fine print that scrolls along at the bottom of it. But it alludes to the fact that that mind control can almost be traced back and could very well go all the way back to ancient Egypt.
Oh yeah, I've sent a video, right?
Yeah, I'm putting I'm putting that up right now underneath the thread with the butterfly on it that we have pinned at the top.
Okay, well, you do that.
Yeah, okay. Just so people can see it. They can see what we're talking about too. And that article on Amanda Bynes, and I highly recommend this site. And Sarah, I know this is a favorite of yours, is The Vigilant Citizen.
Yes, I enjoy that.
Yeah, I saw that article about Amanda Bynes on there, and I'm going to put that up too. But everybody should check out The Vigilant Citizen, especially as far as Monarch and MK Ultra go. Especially.
Mm.
Okay, let's get back to that. Let's get back to let's talk about handlers here for a minute.
Yeah.
Since I brought up the fact that Britney was under conservatorship, we talked about handlers last time, and we talked about odd marriages and things like that, marrying really rich people. And Blair brought up Anna Nicole and Howard Stern, not the radio DJ, but the lawyer that she was always with. Was probably a handler as well. Can anybody give any more examples of handlers in the entertainment industry? Would Rahm Emanuel, this is something I want to throw out, would Rahm Emanuel, when he was in the White House, would he be a good example of a handler for politicians?
Good question.
Because he was an evil son of a bitch. He really was. He's the mayor of Chicago now, but... You know, he has been in and out of the White House since the Clinton administration. Just a little bio on him, too. He holds dual citizenship with Israel and the United States, and he was also, I know he was a member of the military in Israel. I don't know if he was Mossad or not. I'm not really sure about that. But definitely, he's ex-military, and he was a chief advisor in the White House. So everybody... go start naming people if you can, and then would Rahm Emanuel be a good example of a handler for, let's say, Barack Obama even?
That's a good one.
Blair, why don't we start with you? What do you think?
Well, handlers in politics, I think that goes on as well. I think anyone ever see that footage of President Clinton? And he looked like he was in a trance when he was getting made up.
Yeah, where he acts like he's like, oh, that's so great. And it's like,
yeah,
he's putting makeup
weird,
on him
so
and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So I was just wondering. That's
yeah,
a,
that, was
a good
very,
question
that was very
if,
odd.
If they've got them in Hollywood, and I'd imagine you would have the same sort of thing in politics as well. You know, I think that's a good point to remember is that, you know, a lot of these MKs don't end up in front of you in your TV screen. You know, a lot of them are doing other stuff. Know that nobody knows about. You know, it's not,
yeah.
Not just the entertainment industry, it could be politics, it could be anything, you know?
Okay, Sarah, can you name any more additional handlers in Hollywood? I know you and I talked a little bit about Whitney Houston before and Clive Owen and the night that she died. Would you say Clive Owen is a handler? Or not Clive Owen, but what's his name, Clive Davis? He's a producer. He's tied with American Idol.
I don't know if I would call him a handler, but I know he's a fucking weird-ass dude. Tommy Mottola, I know, is the CEO of Sony Records, and he was with Mariah Carey for a really long time, and they separated around about the time her Butterfly album came out.
Okay.
And he's a really... I would call him a handler.
Too.
Do what?
What happened that night Whitney died with this Clive guy? Can you tell everybody about that?
Oh, was it the Grammys? The Grammy Awards?
I don't know.
Up?
I think it was a birthday party or something. He was having a party.
No, there was an award show the following day. They did a tribute to her, but they were having a big party downstairs at the hotel room that she had died in, and they didn't cart her body out of the building until midnight, and the party started at like 10 or so. So they were pretty much partying downstairs while her dead body was still upstairs.
And didn't this individual, this Clive, didn't he give the order that her body wasn't to be removed until the party was over?
Oh, shit.
I believe so.
I mean, that's what I heard. Yeah, that's what I heard. Now, what's this Tony guy doing now? Is he still the producer for Sony?
I believe so. I think he's...
So, I mean, is he tied to anybody else now?
Not specifically, no, that I can think of, but, I mean... I think that a lot of the handlers that you see in with the celebrities these days are the fathers, the parents. I would say
right.
Lady Gaga's father is her handler. She even has a song about it. I can't think of the name
about
of the song.
About her dad's a handler?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really weird song. Let me get a link real quick, and I'll find out what the name of the song is.
Yeah, not to keep taking it back to Miley Cyrus, there's definitely a weird fixation between her father and her. I mean, there really, really is. I've said things about pro wrestling before, but Brooke Hogan, the blonde Brooke Hogan, and her dad, Hulk, and the way he treats her and kind of pimps her out on the media, but he controls her at the same time, I would not rule Brooke Hogan out as a beta kitten and Hulk as controlling her too. And that goes back to what we talked about earlier, Blair, with these kind of generational through the DNA type programs that, you know, the parents got to sell them out because it's almost necessary that they start testing these people at around 18 months old.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing, isn't it? It's like, you know, give up your firstborn child and some weird shit, you know? It's the ultimate
I imagine it's almost a very ritualistic process, wouldn't you say?
Definitely.
I just got word that Miley Cyrus' grandfather, he was in politics in Kentucky. You know, somebody just sent me this. I don't know really what he was doing, but I just got this. You know anything about that, Evan? I never heard shit about that. You know, it doesn't.
Miley Cyrus was running for a political office. I don't think she's old enough.
No, Miley Cyrus' grandfather.
Oh, her grandfather was a politician.
Yeah. Do you see that bitch in politics? That would be a good show, man.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm gonna check on whether or not I'm gonna. Try and find that myself, but no, I had no idea that Grandpa was in politics. Does anybody know anything about her mom? Billy Ray's wife or ex-wife? What's the deal with this family? Does anybody know anything?
Nothing. I just got this. I'm asking him if he knows anything more about this. I don't know if Sarah knows about this. Do you?
Sorry, knows about what?
I just got a message that Miley Cyrus' grandfather was in politics in Kentucky, and then Evan... Yes, about her mother, right? And the connections there.
Yeah, what's up with her mom, Sarah? What's up with her mom, Sarah? Do you know anything about Miley's mom?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I've never heard anything about her mom, really.
Me neither.
See, that's the thing, too. That's really bizarre, also, that we would never...
That we
never hear anything about her mom.
Her mother, she disappeared out of the life.
Jeff, you're starting to break up a little bit, man. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll go on for just a little bit. Yeah, I think he might have been talking about Miley Cyrus's mom. Robin Thicke's mother, I'm reading this too, the guy that did the performance, with her. And Blair, I want you to tell me what you think of his video and his song here in a second, because you mentioned it earlier. But his mother, and I don't know if this means I don't know if this was just for posturing purposes or what, but his mother criticized the performance by saying, "I can never unsee it." Those are the quotes. Robin Thicke's mother said, "I can never unsee the video." Blair, what you were saying something earlier in chat to me about Robin Thicke and his video seeming a little rapey. What did you mean by
that? Well, it's just some of the commentary about the video was it was the criticism that was made of it was that the lyrics were a bit demeaning to women, and it was just the whole tone of the video, and the criticism towards it was that he actually had to defend himself and defend his video and say that it wasn't rapey, so which is completely bizarre, you know, for a pop song, you know. And, you know, it's meant to be this, you know, he's meant to be this quite clean-cut, you know, this guy, and he releases that kind of single, you know. That's another one.
Pretty.
It's strange.
He's very pretty, yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty boys.
He's,
you know,
he's very pretty. And a lot of these guys are very, very pretty these days, almost to the point of where they're just sort of androgynous, I've noticed. I mean, that's just me. But, yeah, and it just seems like they're becoming more and more feminine, too. I know that he was demeaning women, but I just, when I saw the VMAs this past week, I just saw a lot, and this is not me bashing homosexuals in any way. I wouldn't do that. It's not my place to bash somebody's sexual preference or whatever, but it just seems to me like the men in the industry are becoming, how did you say it, sir, very feminized.
Yeah. But I think that's the whole thing, though. They want to demasculate men, and so the archetypes that they put up there, you know, are going to be like, you know, the people that you want to, well, what you want men or teenage guys or whatever to follow, to look up to think are, you know, they're a good example, you know. So I think that's done on purpose as well, you know. But you've got to remember that, in a way, they want non-threatening men. You know, that sort of works better with the audience, and especially if you're trying to, you know, sell a group or an artist to teenage girls, which is the main audience. They want that sort of boyish, non-threatening sort of look, you know, because these are girls that are, you know, they're awakening to their being a sexual being and stuff, but they don't. You know, they want a certain innocence about it, so the performer has to kind of encapsulate that as well. So there is that side to it.
Do you think one of the biggest, Blair, one of the most traumatizing things to the public, and what shocks the public and gets them talking so much about, let's say, Miley Cyrus, for example, now, but in years past, like Spears and Christina Aguilera, is that the public was very saturated with her back when she was just a kid. And that most people still see her as just a kid. And so when they see this performance on the VMAs with Robin Thicke, they don't see a woman anymore. They don't see a woman. What they see is a young teenage girl up there simulating sex acts with this guy who did a video that was demeaning to women. Do you think it's because people still see her as a child?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It's like, you know, they want... they're sort of making you attached to them when they were nice and innocent, and they're like, "Oh, she's lovely," you know. That people can imagine, you know, if that was my daughter, if it was my niece, you know, she's what a lovely girl, and oh, she's such a great singer or what have you. And then to turn it around on people, you know, to you know, for them to turn into like, you know, a little sex bomb on stage, trying shaking her booty, and you know, it's going to upset people. They're kind of like, "Oh my God," you know, they're in shock. You know, what happened to the sweet girl? I think that's done on purpose as well. You know, that's just fucking with your mind.
And I am getting word that people cannot hear us talking, Blair. I wonder if we are still on the air, if we're just having a conversation amongst ourselves.
No, we should be on the air.
Okay.
Skype had dumped us and I had to call in, but... Sofa?
Yeah, our buddy Sofa says that he can't hear it, and Jeff says that Skype isn't working for him. So. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Sofa, can you hear now?
I'm not seeing anything.
Well,
I mean, you know what they say, the panel must go on. So.
Here we go, yes, because this will be archived.
If you're saying that we're still on air, Sofa has sound. If you're saying we're still on air, then Blair and I will go ahead and proceed.
Right.
We'll go ahead and proceed with the show. And Blair, I wanted to get back to that website that you sent me and start talking about some of the grittier details of these things.
Can you not hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you. Are you in?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, guys.
Okay, all right, Sarah's back. All right, we've got 3 out of 4. All we need is the Flying Dutchman back in, and we're good.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay, some of the things that I was reading on this website that you sent me, Blair, they're pretty disturbing.
Yep.
The 18-month-old thing, it was disturbing too, but I'm seeing some of the steps here about on up until they hit the age of 18 months where they're just really saturated with love.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, and they're taught, you know, as far as their bathroom habits, they're taught to stay meticulously clean, and they're kept just in extreme pristine condition and taught to really, really care about their bodies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they hit the age of 18, that makes it easier for them to just be completely degraded and broke down. And
So when you say 18, you mean 18 months?
Well, I just don't... it's just really hard for me to imagine that somebody... I mean, if it's a parent or an adult caretaker, this person has to be a complete sociopath, or they have to be mm-hmm. programmed themselves to be a complete sociopath, because they have to offer love, which means they have to fake love for 18 months if they don't really love them, in order to then completely break them down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really hard for me to imagine. saturating a child. A baby
I think I read,
with love until they're 18 months and then
they,
doing that.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that they have, like, mother figures, you know, that do some of the, you know, the handling, you know, some of the caring and early on and stuff like that. So, you know, they could, I think they play their part, you know. So it's not, like, all on, you know, whoever's going to be the handler. But there are other writings that say that, you know, the child has to form that bond, and that's why, you know, when they do the trauma, it implants much deeper, it anchors much deeper, because they've been treated so nice up to that point that, because it's such a shock, the trauma will be more, and they'll be able to disassociate to a full extent, you know, and create the space where the handler can start implanting, you know, they can create that personality. So I think that the initial stages of, you know, being very loving or fake love, what have you, sets it up, you know, for what they want to do later on when they turn nasty on them.
Well, yeah, to me, the trauma can't occur as effectively unless mm-hmm. they are saturated with a lot of love. Another thing that I read, too, is that premature birth in itself is traumatic. And that, what was it, up to 40% of all, only 7 to 8% of all births are recorded as premature, but up to 40% of those births, the child goes on to become a battered victim, a victim of child abuse as well. And that's an insane number.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, if you think about it. Only 7 to 8% of all births are premature, and then they go on to become that. And this website was, I believe, implying that a lot of these births too are premature, of mind
mm-hmm.
control victims. I'm seeing a lot of sexual slavery stuff too, Blair. Have either of you two seen the movie? I don't know if Jeff's back with us, but Sarah,
Have you
guys seen the movie The Dictator? Because I do have a point with this.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
With Sacha Baron Cohen, it's very funny. It's a funny movie.
It is, but at the very beginning, did you guys notice something? He is paying celebrities to fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
He's paying celebrities to fuck him, and Megan Fox is in.
That's nothing new, right?
What's that?
So I think that's a lot closer to the truth than people think.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting at, too. I mean, it's almost as if, and then when he was done with her, he asked if she wanted to, you know, stay in bed with him, and she said she had an appointment with the Italian Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm. Evan, I got to jump in real quick. There's a 505 that wants to talk. We are not taking calls yet. We will be taking calls in, what is it, 50 minutes right now.
Well, are we on a 50 minute last block, Ruthann, or
yeah,
are we on
yeah.
a are we on
we're
a,
on
okay.
a 50. So maybe calls in the last whatever. We've got 20 minutes to go.
Oh, okay.
So in five minutes we'll take 505. How about that?
Okay.
Perfect. In 5 minutes.
Yeah, in 5 minutes we'll take 505.
I think it's Charlie, but I'm not sure.
At the beginning of The Dictator, it's as if a lot of these women are being passed around as prostitutes. They moonlight as prostitutes. I mean, is that a possibility?
Yeah. Can you imagine there'd be a situation where it'd be like you could bribe somebody or give somebody what you want? If they say, oh, I could set you up for a night with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And you're some like top-notch oil guy or politician or whatever the case may be, you know? And the boy,
Most likely, because you know why the fuck not? With all that money and all that power, of course they will do that. You know, it doesn't surprise me one bit, not at all.
Couldn't beta kittens be used for blackmail, too?
Oh yes,
set people up and then blackmail them.
That's good.
I had an interesting little thing here. Let me see if I can find it again. Damn it. Where is it? I think it was that one. Yeah, it was an interesting little bit in here. It was talking about the grooming stage. It was saying, in order to reach the higher echelons of entertainment with no family or tribe connection, so that's that intergenerational thing we were talking about, you must work yourself up through the drug use, sexual permissiveness, prostitution escort stages, to things like mind control handlers and into darker levels of spiritual possession or soul loss at a profound level. This sets the stage for the performer to become part of a very dark world. Artists who resist are a huge threat. So the controllers compromise you in some way with evidence of your perversions, or they threaten you, or they finally kill you.
Yeah. That's blackmailing right there. Of course they use that kind of thing. Doesn't seem right at all. You know, what is the best? You know, that is the best shit that you can do. You know, if you don't want to comply with it, then, you know, we will find something that make you comply with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's definitely goes on that sort of, you know, when there was a whole thing about, you know, the Jimmy Savile and how they ran a house where they would bring children and stuff like that. And it was found out that they were like, they were filming people there. So you can imagine the blackmail that went on, and there was politicians or whoever was going to these parties, and then, you know, they would get compromised, and, you know, afterwards, obviously, they'd say, oh, we filmed you last night, you know, when you were, you know, with that child and stuff like that, you know, and that's them, they're done, you know. That's,
exactly.
They're in for life, because they don't want, you know, them to, you know, tell the world or show the evidence, you know.
Of course. Yeah, that's perfect blackmailing right there. That's a very good example, by the way. We saw you with the job. You don't want to get leads in that kind of shit. You know, everything is controlled. You know, even that, they control their own balls. Yeah, you know, it's very crazy. I just got word that the call was from 505, that was Charlie. Charlie is calling, what is it, in a few minutes, I think, 2 or 3 minutes, then we have you on. You know, we got, what is it, 20 minutes? 27 minutes left, I think. Oh no, 17 minutes left. But that's okay.
Yes,
Charlie,
17 minutes left.
Yeah, we're in the 10 minutes early, and then I gotta close out too. So, I wanted to ask one question real quick, and then we can take Charlie. And I want to ask Sarah this, because I've talked to her about it before. It has to do with people that can't be reprogrammed and people that can't comply. Sarah, what happens to these people that can't comply, and they won't allow themselves to be reprogrammed? What do you think happens? Now I hear static again. Yeah, Skype doesn't love us tonight, guys. Skype really doesn't love us. We can't hear you, sir. Can anybody hear this?
No, it's just static.
Jap,
just breaking up.
Jap, are you in, or is Jap, are you still on? It looks like they're booted off, Blair. Looks like it's just you and me again. No, we can't hear you guys. We can't. But if I know Sarah, and I know what we've talked about before, I would say that Sarah says they probably die. That's probably the end result, is they die. And I think that could have been what happened to Michael Jackson, and I think that could have been what happened to Whitney Houston and probably a slew of other stars.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think
some other time.
As soon as we sense that people are breaking conditioning or want to speak out in some way, then that's them. I think because Michael Jackson was such a big star, I think it was difficult for them. You know, they had to really plan it. And because for a few years, he looked like he was starting to speak out, you know. So I think they were desperate to get rid of him.
He was looking very bad at the end, too, Blair. I mean, like he could have gone at any moment. I mean, he was really looking bad. And he was telling people in public, they're poisoning my water, they're trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
He refused to drink the water at his house. He went to a completely different hospital and got on an IV that perked him up quite a bit. But yeah, he was looking really bad. If Ruth Ann, if Charlie's on the line, let's go ahead and have Charlie come in here. Sarah wanted me to mention Paris Jackson too. She, and Paris is his daughter, and she did recently try to commit suicide. And she had been tweeting out a lot of images with a lot of symbolism, Illuminati symbolism, and things like that. Paris is in an institution right now. So, just a long story short. But yeah, Ruth Ann, if you wanted to let Charlie in, if he's still on. Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
Is it still just us?
Hello?
Yeah, I think that Charlie's in.
I can't hear Ruth Ann very well either.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, Charlie, is that you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, yeah, this isn't Charlie. This is Damon.
Damon, what's up, man? What's up? What's up?
Hey,
talk to us a little bit about this, man. Enlighten us.
Okay, I wrote down a couple of notes while I was listening to the show. So, my internet's been cutting out the whole time, so I've only heard a little bit. So if I'm covering other stuff that you've already covered, I apologize. But I want to bring up a couple quick points, and then if you guys want to elaborate and discuss with me, that'd be cool. One thing is you were talking about Paris being institutionalized, and
right.
Have you heard of Ezra Pound, the poet?
No,
Okay, he's a really famous English poet, and he spoke out against the Rothschild family and a lot of the things they were doing. Basically, it was social engineering and basically mass mind control. And he got locked up into a mental institution for a long time. And a guy named Eustace Mullins, if you guys want to look this stuff up, Eustace Mullins was his caretaker for a while. And he learned a lot of stuff about how they were manipulating societies, basically controlling the wars and different things like that. And he went and worked for the Library of Congress, and he started getting documents and making copies of documents from the Library of Congress, exposing a lot of this stuff. So that just goes to show right there. If you start looking at that, you can see obviously that that's been a tactic that they've been using for a long time, is to institutionalize anybody that speaks out against this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously anybody who talks about mind control to the uninitiated public who doesn't understand this stuff, it sounds pretty crazy. So that makes kind of a lot of sense, you know. And that goes into the gun control debate thing too, because a lot of times whenever they're talking about gun control, they're talking about keeping guns away from crazy people. So basically all they have to do is anybody who's had depression, just like during World War II with Hitler and stuff, the people who had depression, even women who had postpartum depression from giving birth and things like that, they tried to disarm and even euthanize. And I think eugenics ties very closely in with euthanasia and, I mean, with the whole mind control program and everything, which leads me to the FEMA re-education camps. If you start looking into those camps, they actually have Army documents and I believe Navy documents that have been declassified talking about using the camps for re-education. And so if they're doing this stuff to the celebrities, getting them, locking them up, and reprogramming their minds, imagine what they can do to us with the current technologies that they have. A lot of the stuff that they've already declassified is back from the 60s, which leads me to another point. There's a guy named Al Hubbard. He's a known CIA asset, worked with the CIA. His family was moonshine smugglers, and he is the only person who held a license to import LSD into the country of Canada, and then he would import the LSD into the United States, and that's where the whole 60s LSD movement came from. Like, literally everybody, Tim Leary, the whole CIA MKUltra program leading on to Project Monarch and MK Subproject 58. I believe there's one called MK Ruby or something like that. There's several different MK programs, but all of the LSD that they used for that came directly from this guy named Al Hubbard. So that's something else you can look up. John Irving, once again, has done a lot of research into that at gnosticmedia.com.
Yeah, they were running around handing out LSD to the universities and stuff like that. You know, they're literally just offloading it.
This guy, Al Hubbard, is the only person who had a license to import it, and he brought in so much LSD. He's responsible for everybody during the 60s, probably pretty much everybody since the 60s even, that's done LSD, has done it because of this guy right here getting involved.
And, yeah, I've heard that name before, and I know Eustace Mullins too, Damon. He has spoken out a lot against financial institutions also and the Rothschilds and the central banks. Very vocal guy. I believe he passed away in 2010, though. You know, God rest his soul. But yeah, he's done a lot of good work.
And another guy too who's done a lot of good work is a guy named Jay Parker. He speaks out especially against the beta programming. He was raised in, you know, the way I view it is Illuminati is pretty much a generic term for anybody who's in the really high level control hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And his family is from Pennsylvania. He says from the time that he was like 2 or 3 years old, his father used to force him to perform fellatio on him while he was in the crib. He's seen all kinds of horrible things that his family would do. He said in front of his face, his father has killed at least 6 people. He went to the police in Pennsylvania and told them about his father killing all of these children, especially because one of his best friends was one of the people that they killed in the cult. And and the police basically told him in the area that there was nothing they could do because there was, you know, it was out of their control. There's higher powers at work in the area and that they couldn't do anything. And he said in order to initiate the children into the beta programming, they would drug them first. Who knows what it was exactly, LSD or Soma, scopolamine, something like that, that they would get them high on, and they would put them in a trance, and then they would sacrifice somebody. For his particular initiation, Jay Parker, they got a girl who was 14 years old. They threw her in the trunk of a car, drove her from California to Pennsylvania over 3 days. They butchered her with an axe in front of him, broke him out of his programming, and he says everybody from the call stood around him saying, "What did you do? What did you do?"
Trying to put
that guilt upon him and create that schism in his mind. Something that has been in progress.
That's crazy.
Wow.
He speaks out tremendously. So if anybody wants to reach him, he talks about specific people who are involved in the cults. He speaks about certain towns that there are different areas throughout America and really throughout the world that have satanic cults that 90% of the town is made up of members of the cult. And then, which leads me to Sandy Hook, like Newtown.
Exactly.
If you search online for Newtown Church of Satan, you can find stuff going back from, I believe the earliest I found was 1994 or 1996, going back that you could write into the to Newtown to receive literature on the Church of Satan and stuff like that. So the FEMA re-education...
Well, Damon, unfortunately, I've got to close out here soon, but I have written down everybody that you said so far, and that is one messed up story that you just told, but unfortunately I believe that more often than not, you know, part of traumatizing is probably has to be a brutal death too. If anything would be equitable with something as traumatic as rape, it would be seeing something like that.
From what I've heard, that was one crazy story. I didn't get everything because I just got back in, but that's some crazy story. And what you said about breaking down the program in the end, people are saying, what the fuck did you do? It sounds very familiar. Very true.
And we haven't talked about a lot of this stuff on the show yet, Jeff, but that's not something, this is not the first time that us, you and Blair and Sarah and I have heard and read about things like this either.
Yeah.
That's something we've heard about before, but to the uninitiated, as Damon would say, would be very shocking, very, very
disturbing,
a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah,
exactly. That's why you've got to be a little bit careful when you do your research, and, you know, like I said before, you just take it a little bit at a time because it's quite disturbing stuff, you know.
Yeah. Well, Damon, thanks. Thank you so much for calling, man. Damon called in the last time that we did beta programming and had a ton of other good information too. I suggest everybody, since we were breaking up a little bit on this show, go back and listen to the other one. It's on the site also. So, but yeah, Damon, thank you so much for calling, man. We really appreciate it.
Thanks a
lot. Okay, thank you guys. I have a lot more to add, and hopefully I'll be able to call in the future to contribute some more.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Oh,
yeah, definitely, definitely, and we are going to be doing a lot of shows in the future still in this series also. So, and we do plan on working you in. We really do. We really do. All right, thanks for calling, Damon. Have a good evening.
Have a good night, everybody.
Bye-bye. Good night, man.
Okay, guys. Well, I want to thank my new co-host, Blair, since he was here with me the whole time. And Jeff wasn't. I know our critics are probably going to be eating this up that we kept breaking up on the show, but it's important that I add that we only have about 4 critics. Everyone else loves us. The world loves us. The world loves panel. Everybody loves the panel.
Oh, man. I'm just going to blame
once
this
again,
whole show.
Once again, the panel reunited. We reunited. We did a great job.
Yeah.
Sarah, thank you for being one of the legs that holds up panel this week again. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
do you have any final comments?
No, I caught the last end of what that caller was talking about there. That sounded pretty interesting.
Yeah.
He's definitely an interesting cat, man. He knows a lot of stuff. He really does. Blair, I know it's probably early in the morning for you right now, or late at night, whatever you want to call it. Thanks for staying up so late being another one of the being the other leg that holds up the panel. I really appreciate it. Do you have any final comments?
No, just say thanks to everyone who's listening. This is it's a great little series that you're doing. So it's good for everyone.
Yes. Now, before I pass it to my co-host, and I'm going to let him go ahead and close it out, I just want to say that I do believe that it's important that we do a show on Syria next week just
to
stay current.
I think we're
going to
do that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would personally would like to, and Jeff and I will decide on it as a unit, but I'd like to have the same panel back.
Of course,
always. Yeah, for Syria. So if you guys would join us for Syria, we would be honored, I think. We might even find another guest or two or have special people call in. But the next show that we do in this series, it's going to be on 2 men and 2 men only before we move on to alpha programming and Monarch. And we're going to talk about Jimmy Savile, and we're going to talk about the high priest and founder of the Temple of Set, the military satanic church, or it started as a satanic church in the military, Michael Aquino.
We're going to be talking about those two men the next time we do this. So in 2 weeks, we're going to bash two of the most heinous and vicious pedophiles and programmers in the 20th century. So thank you, Jap. Thanks for helping me out again. Thanks for being my co-host, for being my co-hammer. Why don't you go ahead and close it out?
I will close it out. Well, thank you a lot, Evan. Without you, I can't do it. I think I dropped like two fucking times or something. You know, I just want to say, the archives, they might be fine. It might be that the problem with the show was only for people calling in or something. We are not sure. We hope that the archives will be fine.
We're a little bit surer than we were. Blog Talk just sent out something saying we're currently experiencing issues with our host dial-in numbers and guest dial-in.
So I think the archives will be fine.
So they know that something's wrong. Hopefully the archives will have everything that you said in them.
Let's hope so. I think they will. You know, how many minutes do we got left? 5 minutes? Not even.
Like two?
2 minutes. Okay, well, that's good. You know, well, I want to thank everybody, Blair and Sarah. Thanks a lot for coming on. It's always lovely to have you guys on. Blair, always good information. Always.
Cheers,
Sarah. Sarah, thanks a lot, of course, for calling in. Are you still there, Sarah?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to blame you for everything that happened tonight. You know? Makes it a lot easier.
Hit it. My fault.
Evan, my co-hammer, thanks a lot for everything, of course. Couldn't do it without you. Ruta,
thank you, brother.
Thank you, man. Ruta and our producer, thanks a lot. You know,
sure, my pleasure.
Yeah, we couldn't do it without you, of course. And of course,
well, I keep learning, so I thank you all.
And of course, thanks to all the listeners for listening in, calling in. It's always an honor to have you on, to hear different opinions, different views. You know, this was our show, Monarch Mind Control. We will continue with this series. Next week, we most likely will be talking about Syria, because it's got to be addressed. You know, there's so much shit going on in the world. It's just beyond crazy, and people need to get the information out there, you know? You know, thanks everybody for listening in. Evan, my co-host, thank you a lot. If you want to say something to close it, I don't know, a panel joke.
Well, definitely, next week Syria is in the crosshairs, so we are going to be dropping the hammer on Syria. We're all going to be adding something to it in possible scenarios. A lot of it's going to be speculation. A lot of it's going to be facts because nobody really knows the real truth yet about what's going on.
I'm going to try to get somebody from Syria to call in. That would be amazing. Some first-hand
info. Yeah, definitely somebody from Syria, and Sam is in the area. So we'll explore the option with Sam, too. But Syria's next week, guys. And then after that, Jimmy Savile, Mike Liguino.
Hell yeah. We're going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. Good night to everybody. We're going to upload the archives Thursday, Hammerdown Newspace. Thanks, everybody, and good night.
Thank you. Good night.